We're back from recess. First order of business is listed under Richard and Eric Huffman. The appeal was sent in by the Wampler Family Trust.
I'm going to move that we, can we go ahead and move to deny? I mean, Mr. Chair, motion to deny request BOE ending 0450.
I second.
Motion's been made to deny request for BO number 0450.
And for explanation why, the valuation based off of the current valuation is 227, which is pretty close to what he had requested. And that was the current valuation that we had already been lowered to.
And the property has been sold to a different
and
name.
Of course the applicant is different than the property owner listed too. Unless you want to wait a few more minutes, Mr. Hausman.
I don't mind to move forward with that, but if we do, we need to reconsider if he comes in the next few minutes, at least to hear him during the time frame that he was scheduled for.
Well, then let me withdraw. If you want to, if you'd feel better, withdraw the motion. We can vote on it in a few minutes after this next case.
Let's do that.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Withdraw your second, sir?
Yes.
Let's move on to the next parcel of property. Syracuse?
Syracuse, yes.
I was close. As I'm looking at your parcel, and I see your appeal, you've established the fair market value of said at 175.
I think the assessor
And I think the assessor has already.
I would make a recommendation to put it at the 175. Due to the comparable sales that has been applied, and it figures up right at 175.
Motion for approval of assessor's recommendation at 175.
I'll second the motion. That's for BOE ending 0373.
Yes.
Motion has been made to lower BOE number 0373 to 175. $175,000 per assessor's recommendation. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Sorry you had to wait.
That's it. Sorry you had to wait. Kind of anticlimactic, wasn't it?
It was fun.
Oh.
Honest, we only had a 15-minute break. Okay. Is the McCune a telephone, or is it our next?
It doesn't check mark on the front. No, no. Go back to your. That's not yet.
So Links at Thousand Hills?
They do not say.
They don't say it. They're asking for $100,000. Do you see that?
I would.
I missed that.
Look, prior to them coming in or calling, I would ask that the board change their classification from commercial to residential as they've lived in the property as stated. And then I would ask that the board deny their fair market value because we're slightly less than $100,000 on the books.
Pump it up.
So what, this will be an easy one.
What do we have that?
It appears we have them on the books for $94,007-something.
That's what it looked like to me.
I must be looking at it.
You had the two numbers together, Mr. Hausman.
I am. Thank you.
So it's 94.7 something, right?
And they evidently had got their letter in late or something, that they hadn't, wasn't commercial property on the letter, bulk letters that we send out, so we had to bring it through the board to change that classification from commercial to residential.
Well, I wish we could call them right now, but we can't. They're probably in the car driving over here. Is it a call?
No.
I don't see anything.
That's horrible. Do you have a phone number on there?
Yeah, there's a 402.
Well, they won't be here then if it's a 402.
They live at Branson, according to the Wildwood Drive box.
It's not the phone they left.
It may be the old cell phone. Could be their cell phone.
Could be.
I'd be all right to call them on that.
Danny does that when he prints his trailer out.
Don't change it yet.
Hey, Nathan, you want to borrow a text around? Go get it.
He's right.
I'd like to know. I'm going to go out there and chain all of them together. At least I have to go unlock the chain before I can take it.
Bolt cutters.
They're near the phone.
That old war injury used to make.
Don't call me Houseman.
Mr. Chair.
Call me Chuck.
Hello.
Ooh.
I heard that earlier. Excuse me.
This is what you can do.
I wish it was a rebound.
I just called that number. It's not picking up. They're out of their cell coverage, Ron.
They're what?
They're out of their cell coverage. I just got a message.
Well, message them again.
Well, no, I mean, I'm trying to call him, as I said. And he gets a U.S. cellular message that they're out of the coverage area.
That could mean they're in Branson, right?
You can be there 5 minutes away.
Please enter your account code.
Mr. McCune?
Yes?
This is Ron Houseman at the Taney County Board of Equalization. I believe we have an appointment at 2:30.
Yeah?
I was curious, were you going to come over to the BOE meeting today at 2:30?
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm on my way now in Forsyth, but I called Spire. I wanted to postpone it, but they said you cannot postpone these meetings, that they were full up and nobody had ever seen me if I couldn't come today's, because I wasn't feeling well. But, I want to get this done. So.
Listen, I apologize for that. Let me express to you that the assessor has made a recommendation regarding your property, and that is that it be rolled back to all residential. So, therefore, no split residential commercial. And at that valuation...
Yeah, that's what we thought we were. I mean, we are... We've lived there for 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
And then let them know the valuation, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And that the valuation be established at $94,719. That the residential rate will be applied to, which is 19%.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were after anyway, yeah.
Well, actually, we have established it a little bit less than what you had stated was fair market value, and we've moved it back to the residential tax rate, so it should be considerably different. What I'm telling
you. Okay, so that should take... without me coming in there, right?
Yes, sir, we can, and we're prepared. Actually, we have done that. We just voted. I thought I would save you a trip, but I guess I've already let you get over here. But what we will do is we will We will send you this notification in the mail in the next 5 days, and you'll be able to see exactly what we did.
Well, that's good. I think that ought to do it, Ben, and I appreciate your calling. And we're getting a kind of a nice little drive here anyway, so we'll turn around and go back.
I apologize. I apologize.
That's all right. That's okay. And we'll just plan on that and anticipate your acknowledgement in the mail then.
We're going to do that right away, sir.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, motion to set valuation to 100% residential and
Why don't you just make the motion to establish it to residential value and set the value at 94,719.
Motion to so moved.
94,719. I believe if you add those two together, that's what you get.
And that's on BOE 0282 as per the assessor's recommendation.
Is there a second?
I second.
Motion's been made and seconded to lower BOE number 0282 to 94,719 and establish it at 100% residential as per assessor's recommendation. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries.
How about the Wampler one now?
I don't believe he's showing.
Do you want to wait a little longer?
No, I'm with you.
Motion to deny BOE request 0450.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded to deny BOE number 0450's request. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. Are we going to have phone call from the 245, or is that an in-person? Okay. My suggestion is we take a look at that. And let's see here.
Oh, hold on. Can we go ahead and set the value to the Jack Wilkins since you received the letter?
Yes.
Can we do that real fast?
For which one?
The very first one we started today. He's already faxed the letter over.
He faxed the letter, said that he was less than 50% of the time, so you could put it 45% commercial and 55% res.
Motion to set valuation to 45-55 residential commercial for BOE number 0009.
I second.
Should we say something about he sent the letter in?
I'm going to include that.
Okay, thank you.
Motion's been made and seconded that we establish a 45-55 assessment on BOE number 0009 as per faxed statement.
Perfect.
From Jack Wilkins. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. On the Tri-Lakes Church, well, I guess I'm not saying what I want to say. My question is, this is not a exemption case?
No. I don't know what they're asking for, basically. Maybe exemption this time.
Mr. Chair, would there be any problem with any of those that are phone calls down the line of making those phone calls and hearing those appeals, like at 3 o'clock when if it's a phone call?
I would think that it would
be convenient to the citizens.
What's the next one? Do one of you have your BOE book with you? I mean the green book that came from the State Tax Commission.
Yes,
it's over here, sir.
Just what you have here. The workshop. That's all right. Jim's got this.
You're going to take all of it? The reason I got this, Chrissy and I were both at the, well, we were all at the BOE workshop.
Before
Nathan
you jump,
and Jeff.
Mr. Housman, before
yes,
you
sir.
Jump into that,
yes.
The one after that is going to be on Branson Hills land valuation question, I guess. I didn't know if we wanted to, we have not made any decisions on that.
They're coming in, though. They're appearing in person, according to my paper.
Okay.
We could head them off, I guess.
Well, I'm just looking to see. Oh, they're asking for more than that. Never mind. We have to leave it. They're asking for a $100,000 decrease.
And it's a house, too, I think.
Yeah, it's a house. You're exactly right.
But my question was, Jim, and it's along the same lines. Couldn't we go through and any of these that need to, our phone calls in, couldn't we make those? If we don't get the people, I mean, it's a scheduled time. If we don't get them, then there's nothing lost.
Well, I think the net one after that's going to be a phone call anyway.
Right.
And it's about the 45-55 split, it looks like.
I'm not finding what I wanted in here, but...
That's what it is.
If I'm not mistaken, were we not advised whenever we had someone that requested an exemption was to move them to the State Tax Commission? If we needed to make the determination of whether or not they should have an exempt status.
Yes.
That's what he recommended. Mm-hmm.
I think any of those exemptions need to be moved right on to the State Tax Commission. I think that's what they told us last year and we couldn't get any support on it.
Has to meet those? No.
Taxpayer in an exemption case alleges that the subject property is not subject to tax in Missouri because it falls within a category of property which has been specifically exempted from taxation by statute or by the Missouri Constitution. In these cases, the taxpayer must prove the taxpayer has standing to bring the appeal. The appeal to the BOB was made in a timely and proper manner. The property is owned by a political subdivision of the state, or it is owned by a not-for-profit corporation that uses the property in conformity with the statute and the judicial test set out below. Third element is crucial. If the property is owned by a political subdivision of the state, it is exempt strictly by ownership. If a charitable, educational, or religious use is claimed, the organization must pass the three prongs of the Franciscan test. This test is whether the property must be owned and operated on a not-for-profit basis, must be actually and regularly used exclusively for a charitable or an educational or religious purpose, and the dominant use of the property must be for the benefit of an indefinite number of persons and must directly or indirectly benefit society generally. But, if I'm not mistaken, the advice from gentleman at the school was to send these on directly to the FTC.
Thank you, sir. Do we have any doubts about this? I mean, I don't know anything about that church, but...
What happened on this particular property is that...
Good deal.
It was bought by Hobby Lobby and given to a church back in 2001-ish to and in the process the church held services, but during the week and on weekends they might have Mel Tillis in, might have other entertainers in, which provided other income to the church. They also, at that time, sold Roark memberships. They sold several things that was not affiliated with the church. Assemblies of God was the owners at the time. They sent their attorneys down. There was agreement reached that they were to pay 4/7 on the church and have 3/7 exemption to fulfill the week as being a church. The Assemblies of God 100% agreed with it. Never asked a question, walked out of the BOE as happy as they could be. Since then, the church is sold or deeded again, I'm assuming, to Tri-Lakes. But the activities of the church, there they are now. Come on in. Is still to the point of, if you look at their financials, of having some private.
So it was based on a 4/7?
It was based on a 4/7 value.
Okay. Are you gentlemen here on behalf of the Tri-Lakes Church?
Yes, sir, we are.
Does any member of the board have any objection to going ahead?
No.
Starting a little early? Okay. If you would like, one of you or both, we'd like you to, when you speak, come to the podium. We are both recording and broadcasting over the internet. And we are ready when you're ready to talk about this appeal. And I think everybody here has it in front of them.
I don't believe we're late, are we?
Oh, no. We're running ahead of schedule.
You're early.
So might as well take you if you're ready for us.
I'll be ready just for a second.
Well, there's no hurry.
I know you're busy. I'll be happy to get going here in just a moment.
Well, good afternoon.
Hello.
My name is David Betzer, and I'm the senior pastor and chairman of the board of Tri-Lakes Church, located 2527 State Highway 248. I want to thank you for the opportunity to meet with you folks today. We appreciate your service to the community and what you do here. If I can give you a brief introduction about myself, I was elected to serve as the senior pastor of Tri-Lakes Church just over a year ago. I've been an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God for 25 years, and my family and I moved here from Africa, where we served as missionaries for 16 years. My wife and I, along with our two children that we have left in the nest, recently purchased a home in the Branson area, so I'm told that means we're going to be here for a long time because we may never sell it again. So we're glad to be in the community. And I'm here today in my capacity as a pastor of Tri-Lakes Church and the chairman of the board. This is Mr. Ron Berger. He is our financial administrator for the church. Perhaps a little background on this whole thing would help us with our perspective on our reason for being here today. Tri-Lakes Church was founded in this community in February of 2000, originally meeting in the Starlight Theater, and then moving to Crockey's in Hollister, where the church grew quite rapidly. At that time, there was a very generous businessman from out of state who provided a way for two churches in this community to purchase existing buildings in the Branson area to be converted into houses of worship. Tri-Lakes Church and Skyline Baptist were both beneficiaries of the generosity of the businessman. But in the case of Tri-Lakes Church, there was an unfortunate division in the church which took place as a property acquisition was taking place that resulted in the church body not being able to take financial responsibility for the building at that time. Our church organization that we're affiliated with, the Assemblies of God, which is based in Springfield, Missouri, intervened in the situation so that the generous investment into the Branson community by the businessman and into our church would not be lost. And the Assemblies of God, their for-profit financial organization called AG Financial Services, took ownership of the building, and Tri-Lakes Church began to lease the building as our church meeting facility. We had our first services as a church in that place of worship on January of 2003. It's my understanding that at that time, AG Financial Services negotiated a property tax rate with this council. In May of 2008, Tri-Lakes Church purchased the 2527 State Highway 248 property from AG Financial Services, securing the building with a loan from Ozark Mountain Bank, and the sole responsible party for that loan is Tri-Lakes Church, and the Assemblies of God Financial Services, who was the prior owner, has not had any role in ownership since Tri-Lakes Church purchased the building in May of 2008. I believe we sent forth documentation with our loan with the bank. If I may take a moment, I want to share with you a little bit about what happens at Tri-Lakes Church each week, because I know I haven't seen any of you attending our church each week. I'm really sad about that. But just so you can see what happens at our church on a regular basis, we have Ron, can you hold this for me?
Sure.
Our service schedule at the church, we have 9 a.m. 9:30 Sunday school services, 10:30 worship services, 6 p.m. discipleship classes on Sundays. We have children's and early childhood development services on Sundays. We have a Monday night ministry called, let me get to that in a minute. We have Monday night ministry, we have Wednesday night ministry, we have choir practices. We have Bible studies, youth services, other things taking place all during the day. We keep regular office hours from 9 a.m. to 4:30, Monday through Friday. There's daily prep, cleanup for services and church activities. Our regular office activities include, but aren't limited to, regular clerical duties of running a church, counseling, staff planning meetings, accounting, preparation for services, including Sunday worship, student services, kids services, Bible studies. And we have a reception area that's staffed full-time with the church administrative assistant and church volunteers. We have 6 offices that house the pastoral staff. We have 1 office used as regularly as a conference room. We have offices used for volunteers. All this takes place on a regular basis. We have early childhood ministry in our church. We have something called Evidence Student Ministries. It takes place for students from grade 6 to 12 that meet on Wednesday nights, as well as Tuesday afternoons. Evidence Youth Ministries also has a regular intervals throughout the year, discipleship for our young people in our church. We have a program called Junior Bible Quiz, where we teach our kids the Word of God, both on Sundays and on Wednesdays. We have men's ministries taking place at different times throughout the month, regular Saturday meetings, as well as special events that take place. We do missions and outreaches through our church. We use our facility to store projects for missions that, for instance, we recently stored television and radio equipment in our basement while we put together a container to send to Tanzania. So our facility is used, even our basement and our storage is used for areas of ministry. We have programs called Impact Girls. We have music ministry, prayer teams, Every Monday we have a program at 6:30 called Rescued in the Facility, which is a recovery ministry if you're struggling with life substance issues or any life-controlling issues. We have a program called Royal Rangers that meets at the church regularly on Wednesday nights and other nights as they fulfill their obligations to grow in that ministry. We have a special area of the church designated our Splash Children's Church, where we have an entire area that's been set up for children to be specifically ministered to, with check-in areas and games and teaching areas and things specially designed for children. We have, as I mentioned earlier, Sunday school classes on Sunday throughout our entire building, located in offices areas, student center areas, the basement, the apartment, part of what we used to call the apartment. We have Tri-Lakes Church Women's Ministries, which meets different places in the building throughout the month, depending upon what they're doing and the size of the group that's meeting. We have a group called West of 50s, which is our seniors group, which meets throughout at different times in the building. And we also have something called Widows Connection. We're not a group of people that has church in a theater. We're a church. And we own what used to be a theater building. So we just want to show you that we have regular ministry in our facility. We're not just like some things that I've seen are taking place in our community where they just have a Sunday morning thing for tourists coming through the community. We're a vibrant part of the Branson community. Unfortunately, after I arrived here a little over a year ago, I found out that the previous leadership of the church evidently did not approach this Board of Equalization at the time when the church purchased the property from our AG Financial Services division of our parent organization. At that, it would have been appropriate for them to come at this time so that the property could be recognized by you as a church facility and receive proper property tax exemption. And I'm here today as the pastor and the chairman of the board to request that this Board of Equalization take the necessary measures to allow the Tri-Lakes Church property located at 2527 State Highway 248 be recognized as a church and receive appropriate property tax exemption.
James.
I knew you had told me, you came in and told me that you had purchased from AG Financial, Assemblies of God Financial.
Yes, sir.
But the only question I had at that point, what changed from the activities of AG Financial? I know you've went through a series of activities, but during the testimony that AG give, Assemblies of God give to this Board of Equalization back some time ago, they went through the same list of activities.
Sure. If I could show you a picture of, this is from a promotional piece of artwork that went out when AG Financial Services owned the building. This is artist representation of the sign they put up. We couldn't find an actual picture at the time, but this was the sign that was up there at the time. You'll see it says Tri-Lakes Center. Focus on events, conventions, seminars, special events, and at the time we were just a lessee in the building. I can't explain, and it's not my responsibility, I believe, to explain what AG Financial Services did with the building or what their intent was. We were not the owners, we were the lessees at that point. At this point, if you drive by our property now, you'll find our sign. This is the actual sign. I took this picture a couple days ago. It says Tri-Lakes Church. It does say an event center. Yes, we still do have activities in our building. You'll see the sign talks about some of the ministry. It just took place this past Sunday. And what's prominent in what we do is our church. We are a church that happens to own a building that used to be a theater. I don't know why I need to be accountable for what AG Financial Services did with the building in the past. We were not them. We are not that organization. We're a local body of believers that purchased this building to be a church. AG Financial Services has nothing to say about how we do our business as a church. They have no control over what we do. Assembly of God headquarters. The nature of our church is that we are an affiliated church. We are not a denomination. They don't control what we do. You're dealing with a local body of believers who purchased a building that used to be a theater that is now primarily a church facility. So that's what's different. We're now a church that owns a building. We're not. Back then, it was AG Financial Services that owned the building. They were a for-profit organization. We're a not-for-profit organization.
When I see on your income expense reports, the same report coming through.
Same report coming through.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see anything different. And I see where you produce up to $1 million of income on the income side of a profit loss statement. That has nothing to do with the contributions, I'm assuming. I'm assuming that is where your ticket sales, your cafe sales, your theater ticket sales, other income,
well, if I could
sales.
If I could speak to what existed when I walked in the door a year ago, and what the church inherited when it bought the building. When the church bought the building from AG Financial Services, there were some contracts in place for entertainers that had come into this building, which I would probably agree with you weren't appropriate for a church to be bringing into the community and expect it to be accepted as outreach or family, anything even remotely to do with what a church might want to do in the community. But all I can tell you is that since I've come in and we've taken leadership of the church, I can only tell you what's happening in what we do as far as using our facility for the community and using our facility to generate resources for what we do now. Let me say this to you. We do have an LLC that the church is responsible for. It's called Tri-Lake Center of Branson. Tri-Lake Center of Branson does not own Tri-Lakes Church. Tri-Lakes Church, 2527 State Highway 248, is owned by a church body. This is a separate entity that exists. And if I can, I won't take the time to read this. It's typical LLC paperwork. Let me say that this was put together before I became the pastor of this church. And this company was put together to protect the church, because there were existing contracts with entertainers coming into the community that at that time, in the opinion of the leadership, it would have been detrimental to the community to break those contracts. For example, the only thing that brings in any income of any substance that might be questionable right at the moment into our church is the fact that an entertainer named Daniel O'Donnell comes into our theater and has had an extended contract since we arrived here. When we had to make a decision what to do with something like that, with this entertainer coming into our community, did a little homework. And Daniel O'Donnell sells an average of 2,350 tickets per day when he's in Branson. People come on buses and are a huge part of his fan base that come in every year. Many tour operators tell us that without Daniel in their package, it's very difficult for them to sell Branson anymore, and they base their entire tour on what day they can get tickets to see Daniel's show. So when I came in as a pastor into this situation, I knew there was this situation that existed, but we had to come in and take a look at not only what's in the best interest of our church, because this church is part of a greater community, but what's in the best interest of our community. To see us immediately shut down a Tri-Lake Center business, which was in place when we bought the building to protect the church from existing contracts so that there was a buffer between them, and to shut down bringing 2,300 people a day into Branson, we thought might not be best for Branson. These buses average, we saw last year him average 40 to 46 buses per day. They have fans that come in from Great Britain, Ireland, across Europe to see the show here in Branson, and he brings millions of dollars into our community each year. Now, we could have come in as a pastor and said, we need to just shut that down because that's not what churches do. But what churches do is they lift up the community, and they make sure that not only do they be a blessing to the community, but they don't do damage to the community. And it was our opinion coming in that we needed to walk through a process of becoming something that I can understand why Mr. Strahan has an issue with some of the activities that historically we've done as a church. But would it be in the best interest of the community to immediately just shut that down and not only lose jobs, but lose revenue for the community? He brings in millions of Daniel brings in millions of dollars to Branson each year. He's on PBS stations across the U.S. and Canada, making people aware of Branson. And we didn't just want to come in and arbitrarily, based on an initial discussion with Mr. Strahan, shut down bringing any and all things into our church. And we've done some little research. And if I can just touch on something, maybe I can hand this to somebody. This is a copy of the Missouri statute on property tax. Can I give this to someone?
Sure, any one of us.
Thank you.
Let me just turn to my copy of that.
Which statute is that, Ron?
Just for the record, it's chapter 137 that speaks to the
137-100, isn't it, Ron?
Yes.
137-100, you all are obviously familiar with it. It's the law pertaining to exemption from property tax, and it says in Section 5, all property, real and personal, actually and regularly used exclusively for religious worship, for schools and colleges, or for purposes purely charitable and not held for private or corporate profit, except for the exemption herein granted, does not include real property not actually used or occupied for the purpose of the organization, but held or used as investment even though the income or rentals received therefrom is used wholly for religious, educational, or charitable purposes. Now, that all comes under the tiding. The following subjects are exempt from taxation for state, county, and local purposes. Okay. Now, the issue is obviously the interpretation of this statute, and I'd like to have you, if you would, look at page 2 of what I've handed you. In page 2, at the top of the page, there is a, I believe it's the end of the reference of 23, which starts in the middle of page 1. But it says in the Midwest Bible and Missionary Institute versus Sestrick, and you can see the legal reference there, it says the words used exclusively relating to property, used exclusively for religious worship, etc., have reference to, and these are the key words, I believe, primary and inherent use as over and against a mere secondary and incidental use. And if incidental use does not interrupt exclusion, occupation, or property for exempted use, but dovetails into or rounds out those purposes, then property is, quote, used exclusively for exempted purposes. Now, all I can tell you is that while I can walk you through this whole LLC, the business that we do as continuing to have events in our facility, and I can go over what the ratio of the things we have are. The key page on this LLC registration is Exhibit A at the back, which gives the names and addresses of the members, and the only members of this LLC is Tri-Lakes Church, who is 100% beneficiary of this organization. It's the only reason we have a company is to protect us, and the only beneficiary of this company is the church. I believe that this that I've just read on page 2 kind of makes it clear that as long as your primary purpose, which the law says used exclusively, isn't overwhelmed by incidental things that you do, it is still used exclusively for the exempted purposes. And we believe that we use our church, according to this, exclusively as a church. Because any event that does take place dovetails and benefits who we are as a church, therefore who we are in the community and the greater Branson area. I could take time to walk you through the changes that we've made in the number of artists that came in historically in the past when AG Financial Services owned the building. All I can tell you is that there have been two existing contracts that were in place when I came, one with Daniel O'Donnell's company, another with Up Close Concerts. that were existing contracts when we came in, and that we have honored the run of those contracts, and that up-close concerts will probably not be renewed by our church to bring in. They brought in miscellaneous country artists, some of which would probably be considered family entertainment and acceptable for a church to bring in. A few things they brought in haven't been acceptable, but we were under contract to have them in. Daniel O'Donnell comes in, and he still brings a lot of benefit into our community, and there's no guarantee that if we close the door to him, that it would be good for our community. Frankly, it'd be about a wash. We could go over the books with you. We could certainly, if closing the door to Daniel O'Donnell got us favor with you so that we could get tax exemption, it'd be about a wash, because basically the amount of money he brings into us more or less covers the property tax that we have to pay. So even if we didn't bring him in, it allowed us to get tax exemption, it would probably be a nice wash for us, but it wouldn't be good for Branson. It'd be a big loss to Branson to see somebody like him not be able to come in because we closed down his contract because of our ownership of the facility.
The only other thing I have is on the financial end of this. I see you've reduced your note from $4,346,182 to $3,009,000, which is about $370,000. And this loan is through Ozark Mountain Bank and Liberty Bank. And your purchase from AG, was that through a loan from Ozark Mountain Bank, or did you finance afterwards?
I'm not sure what the relevance to the question we're asking here is. If you could help me understand why the amount of money we borrowed from them is relevant to this discussion.
The reduction of the loan,
yes,
is affiliated with your Celebration Cafe, your O'Donnell appearances, and all these things that you make money on, basically. Or how could you reduce your loan by $400,000, basically, in 1 year?
Ron, would you like to address that as a financial man?
We sold another building. The loan with Liberty Bank was paid off after the loan.
I see it here on the forum.
Yeah, one of the things we inherited when we came is a previous administration had merged with another church, and that property is over in Branson West. It's near the Silver Dollar City entrance, and we sold that to another not-for-profit organization that came into the community, Christian Hot Rod Association, I believe it is. And so that reduced our indebtedness by well over $400,000. Now, my request from you, gentlemen, is that I've come in to be a pastor of this church in this community, and there's a lot of things that I inherited when I walked in the door, just as any pastor coming into the community does. And our goal is to make Tri-Lakes Church a blessing and a benefit to this community. We would like to retain the same benefits any church would have, and that is to use your use your facility to generate revenue for what you do as a church, to be a blessing to the community. We have numerous community events that we help sponsor. We allow graduations from local high schools. We host local business events that need a large place to meet in our facility. We hosted the mayor's prayer breakfast. We host numerous events that if we get a little bit to help cover the expenses, we're lucky, that we believe are a blessing to the community. We believe the things that are still coming in that we bring into our church so that they can be a blessing to our community. Do some of them generate revenue? Yes, but if this board is going to give us property tax because we do things that bring in revenue, I just have to ask you, are you going to go check out everything that every church does to bring in revenue and become the judges of what churches can do to bring in revenue to fund what they do? Last week, our church sent almost $10,000 to orphans in Moldova. We had an event yesterday where we raised $5,000-$6,000 to help reach high schools and talk about drug and substance abuse in high schools and send a team into high schools. Yeah, we believe We believe we do some unusual things in our building. But we believe someday I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account for the kinds of things we do. Are they pleasing to God? Are they something that's good for this community? And do they help pay our bills? Sure they do. That's our responsibility to pay our bills. And we believe the things that we bring in as a church, if they bring in income, we believe that they bring income to help us be a blessing to this community and to our projects around the world and missions. There is no single person benefiting. We're not a theater business that benefits some individual, some family, some company. God bless all those things. I hope they all prosper. But we are different. It's a little bit different thing than maybe your local church. I don't know where you gentlemen attend or if you do. But we think that what we do according to this interpretation of the law certainly fits into what is right and good for a church to do in its community.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It would be, of my opinion, I've sat on this board, this is my seventh year, and I've heard many exemption cases, and I've heard many people get up and talk about exactly what you visited here with us about. It's very, it's I don't want to use the word difficult, but it's actually a fine line sometimes whenever there is a revenue stream as to whether it borders on the line of exemption. And in the past, just to give you some feeling of where we're at, in the past we've had people come before us in these organizations I'm not going to use the word claim because I truly believe they were religious organizations that wanted exemption. Then they found out through a matter of law that they needed to come back after they had been exempted by this board, that they needed to be put back on tax rolls because of revenue stream, ownership of property, or this and that. It would be my recommendation, I'm only one board member, that we let these gentlemen go on to the State Tax Commission for a pure and clear judgment of whether they are exempt and wouldn't have to come back before this commission on anything if there was a vote that didn't go in their favor. I would assume that you would go on anyway. So I just as one board member, would say that for your benefit as well as ours as a board, it would be a clear and definite state of mind for you and for us on the exemption, strictly because we've had people in the past that have come in and received exemption that came back later and asked to be put on the tax roll.
Yeah, sure.
Mr. Strahan, you referred to a revenue stream that's coming in to the church. I believe on the statements that you have, you won't find anything having to do with ticket sales. The only thing that comes into the church per se by itself, not speaking separately from the LLC, are the celebration cafe that is open when there's functions going on in the building to meet the needs of those customers. But I don't want you to think that because there's a revenue stream coming into the LLC, that it's profitable. There's a distinct annual loss every year that the church has to subsidize. By trying to stay in this building, as we know it, there's a lot of overhead that is involved in this building. And without that revenue stream to help offset those expenses, we could just never absorb the expense.
I hope there hadn't been a mixed message out there that I would be opposed to exemption to churches in any way, form, or fashion. My job is to uphold the laws of the state of Missouri that's dealt down to me. I have many cases, many Supreme Court cases, that if you read it on the front page, you would say this one would be easy, it's exempt. And then the courts say, no, it's not. Others that you say doesn't stand a chance for exemption, the courts come through and say they are. The dovetail theory put down by Judge Holstein, it was a big advantage to receiving an exemption. But there were many dissenting judges in that decision. So many of these cases, and you guys refer to me, it's not my decision. And I believe, I've read in the law somewhere, I can't point you straight to it, it's not the decision of the assessor on exemption. It is a decision of the circuit court. And we have had many cases that didn't even come through the BOE. They went straight to circuit court for exemption. I'm just giving you this. This is just a preliminary step. You can achieve it through the state tax commission. I don't know by law that these gentlemen had the right to issue exemption. And I've been through many cases. We always get these cases, and I'm always asked to do these. Some exemptions are no-brainers. The city bought something. It's exempt. The state bought something. It's exempt. The church buys something. Stop sign goes up. What is the future use of that? What's fixing to happen here? Is it bought to sell? Is it bought to get involved in the real estate market? That's where Assemblies of God stepped forward and said, hey, we have a real estate company. We have a financial company.
Yes, sir.
We use the word Assemblies of God prior to those names of these. And the Assemblies of God is the one that stepped forward and said, we don't want to deal with exemption 100%. We know we deal in future use of properties. Yeah.
The Assembly of God isn't involved in this meeting here today, though. The Assembly of God has no ownership
now,
in this building.
I don't want to get cross with anyone, and I don't want to feel cross. You are Assemblies of God minister.
I'm an Assembly of God minister, but this is a sovereign church that is in no way controlled
and
by
you
anyone
have,
in Springfield.
And you have an LLC.
Yes, we do.
I understand.
There's nothing in the law that says
and I'm
a
not
tax exempt.
And I'm not going to argue for or against
a church.
This exemption.
There's nothing though, but says here that a church cannot have an LLC. Now, the reason we've come here today is not to be in a disagreement with you. Our purpose here today is to hopefully walk out of here with something that we believe is fair and equitable. This commission at that point seemed to feel fit to sit down with the Assemblies of God and say, on whatever the formula was, I believe, if I heard you right when we sat in your office, it's a church 3 days a week, it's a theater 4 days a week, thus 4/7.
That's correct.
I believe I can sit here today and show you our use, day by day, for the coming year, which would be reflective of where we're going as a church, and say, the types of things that our LLC, we believe, helps us to generate funds for us, may occupy 10% of our time, if you want to say how many days is something in the building. And really, if you want to say how often is something in the building, really the only contract we're talking about is Daniel O'Donnell, because it's such an impacting thing in the community, and it does bring in money for us. The only reason, and it doesn't really bring in money for us, it helps us wash out the property tax bill. If this commission was willing to say, we'll look at how many days he's in the building or how many hours he's in the building, because if you're going to say every day, all day, he was there all day, that's not true. He does a matinee and the rest of the day. We're still a church all day when he's in the building. He was in the building this past November when I was here as a pastor. We were counseling in our building. We were having marriage counseling. We were having youth services. We were having youth training. We were having children's things all the same while. This that I read earlier, that the exclusive use of a facility, it doesn't mean only. And it says that if there are other things taking place that dovetail into the purposes of the religious organization, it doesn't violate exclusivity. I'd be prepared to negotiate with you the way they did if it would make you comfortable and not have to prolong this. We're trying to overcome our tax issues. We had a delinquent tax bill when I got here. We were able to pay 1 year of that. And we're trying to settle this so that we can make our plans for the future. We're not trying to avoid paying what's fair and reasonable. We just don't think as a church that owns a building that used to be a theater, it's fair to look at what it used to be and say that that's who you are now. Yeah, we bought it from our parent organization that stepped in while this church could get on its feet. But there's a whole different philosophy with me as a pastor than there was in previous leadership. The types of things that we're bringing into our church to edify our body, to edify our community, are almost exclusively religious or at the very least community related. And we're excited about what we're bringing to the community.
And if we could settle this today by walking out with another negotiated situation, we would much rather do that than take on any further legal burdens standing before some court somewhere. We're not a wealthy church. We're trying to overcome our financial situation.
Let me express this to you, that a tax commission hearing is not standing before the court. What they do is they will send an individual here to Taney County. We'll meet in one of the facilities, and we'll hear your appeal to them, if in fact that's what you chose to do, was to go before them. You don't have to go there. You don't have to appear in court. They have a hearing officer, which is normally, what's his
name? Bart Titchener.
Bart Titchener. We sat through a schooling with him just less than a month ago in Springfield regarding boards of equalization. And one of the things that he spoke to were exemptions and what we should do. And really, he advised us as a board to pass those through to the State Tax Commission to let them make the decision regarding whether or not any entity out there is exempt. As James has pointed out, it's easy when you look at a county or a city or a school that the law is very clear on. Unfortunately, the law is not very clear on other entities, churches, etc. I don't know that you have anybody that's sitting up here that doesn't want to be just as sympathetic and compassionate to your requests and appeal today. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know your church. I'm familiar with your church. I have family that goes to your church. And this is really tough, is what to do. He has a certain mandate that he has to fulfill. We understand that. And yet here we sit trying to hammer out what these words are. And we can, in fact, make a motion and do that, and they would come down here and you would have a hearing. But I think each of us felt that we owed it to you all to hear this and to chat with you about it. I'm interested in your thoughts for a negotiation, how that might be better than the tax commission stepping in and saying you should be totally exempt.
Well, the tax commission may step in and say you're totally exempt, and that would be great for us.
Yeah.
If the tax commission stepped in and say, no, you're not exempt, then we frankly would have to take a look at...
I can't imagine they're going to step in and say you're not exempt because you are exempt.
It's
the degree that you're exempt.
I hear what you're saying. But the... Our situation, this is where we were directed. We were directed to here to be with you guys. We were told that you were able to make a decision. And I'm just hearing this process from you for the first time, so I'm trying to absorb it as I'm standing here. So I'm just trying to think of what's best. What I don't want is something that's bad for the community. I think something that would be bad for the community is losing the revenue of somebody like Daniel Donnell coming into us, because frankly, it's just not that much money for us if we're paying property tax. It's really a wash situation. We keep the building open. We pay our property tax out of that, and it gives us protection for an LLC to stay open and bring some people through and protect the church legally from any issues that might happen as an event takes place. We've had several things. We have, community things where we open up to a dance group that wants to come in and use our stage. Well, we make those agreements through an LLC, so it's not the church entering in. It just kind of gives us a layer of protection. So the fact that we own an LLC is more not an issue of profit or loss. It's an issue of protection.
It's a vehicle to do it properly.
Exactly. And so we're trying to, I'm standing here trying to absorb what you're telling me, but at the same time, I wouldn't want to risk seeing something like what Daniel Donnell brings into the community we lose that because... Maybe it might be better to negotiate something here. I don't know. I don't know how this process works, which is why I'm kind of...
Let me ask a question. James, is the valuation that we're looking at here that currently is on the books, is that one that was configured to this 4-3?
Yes,
that
when Mel Ellis owned the theater, it was worth around $11 million. Almost $12 million.
Can I ask a question about that specifically?
Well, that's...
Because it has to do with the ownership when Mel owned the building, because there's a timing thing here. When the Assemblies bought the property and took that step, across the street, there were another four or five, I'm not sure exact acreage, that were part of that deal when the AG Financial bought it. And I'm wondering if that's still part of the valuation, There's an apartment complex there now. I think Mel used to have some storage things there.
Right.
And that got sold, and I'm wondering if that has ever been taken out. I'm just asking if that's been taken out of the valuation.
It has.
Okay.
It was sold to, I think, HCW, and they put in affordable housing in
Ron.
That apartment.
Can you put the map up there for me?
Ron, can I?
Yes, go ahead,
interject.
Sir.
I don't think there's a person on this board that wouldn't wish you a golden opportunity for exemption through the State Tax Commission. As you sit and say that you're trying to absorb what we're telling you because of something new to you, an example might not be the best in the world, but here it is in my perspective. If you go to the doctor and you get a serious diagnosis from the doctor that you're going to, but he's really not a specialist in that field, or has the final word, and you decide not to go on to the person that can give you total clean bill of health, such as the State Tax Commission, versus us trying to make a decision on maybe a profit margin or whatever you might, just using it for an example. That's where you stand now. You are before this board wanting a request that we might not be able to give you full and the law might prevent us from doing so, giving you what you actually need from us, whereas the State Tax Commission, a clean bill of health, and you wouldn't have to worry about coming back before this commission. It can never be brought back because of questions put on the books or whatever. But that's the way that I'm trying to express it to you. It's not that we don't want you to have exemption. I don't think there's probably a board member up here that doesn't want you to receive exemption, but we have to follow the law.
Well, help me understand, if you all would decide to give us exemption, is there a scenario where that can be overturned?
No.
No. James, it could be overturned if the State Tax Commission chose that property as a random...
Mm-hmm. If they do a random draw.
And then they could change it. They could override. Yeah,
but okay. When I spoke no, once they decide, the assessor has no say. But I'm going to give you the worst case scenario because I'm a pretty straightforward person. If you don't believe me, ask these guys. Do we then look at music shows that has gospel singing sections, prayer before, prayer after, prayer? We've got to pay attention on where we go with some of these decisions.
Are they not-for-profit organizations? Are they churches? I think those are fairly simple questions to answer, Mr. Strahan. I really don't think that
I don't think
that's comparing apples and oranges.
You check the laws of the state of Missouri, and the first thing you'll see, not-for-profit does not issue exemption on anything.
Yeah.
A not-for-profit is a status. Right. It's nothing to do with exemption.
Before, if you guys will give me just a moment to ask two or three questions, a line of questioning. First, let me take you back to this picture that shows the property where the church sits that's colored. Now, that you had asked about a parcel that was across the street.
I believe this parcel. We were just checking when the last, this parcel.
Click on that parcel for me, girls. That's Country Ridge Estates, LLC now. Now, I know that where the church was in years past, and that there was a formula that was agreed to.
It was presented by me.
By you, okay.
The church get Sunday worship and Wednesday prayer as an exemption, as a 2/7 exemption. And then a member of the board spoke up and said, well, why don't we give them 3/7 for benefit of the doubt? And I go,
okay.
And the AG lawyers went to shaking their heads yes, and everything went well. That's where it came from.
Here's to pursue my line of questioning or thoughts. I realize today, compared to then, there's far less use of the church for activities other than those specific to the church.
That's right.
And we listen to you as you enumerated what a number of those things were. Is it your estimate that this individual or individuals are therefore I think the figure you hit was 10% of the time. Is it more than that? Is it?
If this board wanted to literally sit down and look through our bookings and things that we're bringing in,
I'm just asking you for your estimate.
10%. I can show you 10% of the, as we sat down and went through as a team, what can we stand before God before and say to you guys, this is a church-related thing that edifies our community, edifies us. It may or may not bring in income. What are those things? Those are religious. What are things that we can, in good conscience, stand before you and say, these are things that are community service. We do get a little income to help pay our expenses, but there are community service things. And of the things that we couldn't stand before you and say, this is just an entertainment thing, you know, we may feel good enough about it that we're comfortable to have it in our building as opposed to some of the things that were there before, but I can't really stand before you and say, we brought this in as a church to be a great blessing to the community. I believe a guy like Daniel O'Donnell is a blessing to the community because he brings in a lot of dollars. But I can't stand here as a church member or as a pastor of a church and say, this is something we've intentionally done to edify our community. 10%. 10% of what is scheduled for next year.
I have just two questions here.
The
LLC that's formed to manage the events non-church related, how many event days were booked last year?
Things booked through them. We run everything that's not our church event or somebody that's in our building, whether it's a Baptist convention or something else like that, for last year.
Right. Well, I guess my question is, you're running through the LLC anything that would possibly cause a litigation. So you're using the LLC to help prevent any possible litigation as a protection.
Right.
Okay. So that would be anything non-related to the church, you would go through the LLC. So if it was, it could be Daniel Donner, it could be the mayor's prayer breakfast, any one of the, how many nights or how many days were events booked?
For last year, 2000.
Or unless you have a projection of what this year's going to be.
I can tell you where we're at for, can you help me, Jane? Where we're at for 2011, and this will, I have to explain this number, there's 170 events.
Okay.
But some of those events, there might be two things on the same day, three things on the same day.
Can you give me an example of two things on the same
day?
Yeah,
for instance, next July 4th, we're having a camp meeting type of event.
Okay.
Where we're bringing Pentecostal group in, and it'll finish on July 4th in the morning. And in the evening, some of those artists and guests that have been part of that three-day event will stay over and do an event that night. So there is actually two separate events, two separate entities that we're dealing with and bringing them into our...
Do you classify in your LLC religious and non-religious events?
We have done that since I've been there, yes.
So how many non-religious events do you have booked?
Now, by non-religious, are you wanting...
Daniel O'Donnell. I would not consider that a religious event.
No, I'm saying, do you want us to, like, high school graduations, those types of things?
Yes. I mean, where you actually charge a fee for the usage of that building.
Charge a profit fee or a fee?
No. Profit loss is dependent on who operates it.
Right.
What do you charge a fee?
All right. We charge a fee, but... Since Pastor David has come in, we've looked at this whole thing totally different. A lot of this that was done previously was based on another man's interpretation.
Sure.
So everything has gone through the LLC, but we've broken it down between faith-based and faith-based. This year, we will have 107 different faith-based events.
You will have that many?
We will have that many.
How many non-faith-based then?
Non-faith, we have... The community would be 10. We do the Taney County Watershed, the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, graduations. Those are 10 days, or 10 events. We have 35 live shows. That is Daniel O'Donnell and the Up Close Concerts that we bring in. And then we have 18 other. And the other would be anything is the Miss Missouri Pageant. We work with them. The Beta Club, the National Beta Club Society comes
Honor
in.
Society.
So we do a lot of those high school choir competitions. We do some of those, and we base those as other.
Okay.
They're not community, but it's not really a live show. They just rent our facility when they come in. They may charge a ticket to the parents or grandparents, but we don't charge
okay.
anything other than rent. So it's 18 other events that are in there. But in November, there might be three different shows a day. Some of those are faith-based, and one of those would be Daniel O'Donnell. One would be Mel Tillis.
And just one more question, trying to understand the LLC here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you have, is that a finite number? Or if someone came in and says, I want to book a concert there, would you add?
We might add.
You may or may not. Depends
yeah.
on what it is.
Okay.
And, I know you're entering into your calculations, and I'm not planning anything in your head that's not already there, because I know there's plenty in your head.
Oh, there's running around.
You know, when I was a kid and attending church, a full gospel church, there was Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night services. And the churches have grown to provide so much more than those three services during the week, or at least that's what I remember that there was. That it's constant, it's almost full time. There is something going on in the church, whether it's for the seniors, whether it's for the youth, whether it's for any age or group that you could possibly think of. That I know how active many of the churches are today. And from listening to you read all the activities you're involved in, I have to believe that that's true of your church as well. But
well, can I, if I could just say this, I suppose these are totally unprepared comments, so I want to be careful what I say. And talking to Brian about coming in here, I realize that the vast majority of the property tax that we pay is going to support our schools. You know, I've got two kids in Branson Public Schools. I don't have a big problem with money going out of what we do to support our public schools. There's no real issue with that. I think our issue is, if this commission wants to have us continue to pay some property tax, we recognize that it's a difficult call for you, and it's an unusual circumstance. We just think that the formula used under the ownership of a for-profit organization when it was being run as a business and part of that business was to lease a facility to us is a dramatically different situation than us as a church owning the building, wanting to keep our lights on, wanting to be able to reach out to our community, wanting to invest in CAM, wanting to invest in, you know, Jesus was homeless, those kinds of things in our community. We still have to keep the lights on, and we have a unique facility. We don't mind, I don't mind paying some property tax. I just think that to continue to treat a church the way you treated a for-profit corporation that was holding the property for a future event are two different things. If you're uncomfortable with whether we're really a church or not, we invite you to have an interview with the people that come to our church every Sunday and every Wednesday and every Monday and every Tuesday and every Friday. I understand your bit of a dilemma here, but and I'm open to going to the state tax person. I just I feel more comfortable dealing with people that I get to see and look in the eye and who has to live with the consequences of the decisions, and I'm somebody who may not be invested in the Branson community. So I guess I'd really much rather have this work this through with you gentlemen than I would somebody who's not vested in Branson the way we are.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a recommendation to this board to move the status of the church to a 2/7 for-profit, a 5/7 exemption, as to try to reach a
2/7. What's that percentage? I got percentages for you.
I think that would be close to 26, 27, 28%.
14. 28%.
James, I'll tell you what I was thinking was one day, which is 1/7, which is right at 14%.
It doesn't matter to me. I've just been listening to the information and come up to that.
I
mean,
I can tell you what I was.
Which also, whatever decision we make, you still have the ability to appeal that decision to the State Tax Commission if you choose to do so.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
So you're saying 2/7 as non-exempt, 5/7 exempt?
5/7 exempt.
Okay.
Right now, they're just 3/7 exempt.
I mean, and that's basically what I came up with was 63 days equals 17% of non-religious, which is how the exemption is stated. So, you know, it's a non-religious. I was thinking 75-25, so it doesn't, I mean, we're close. I was thinking 25% non-exempt, so.
Do you gentlemen want them to look at that sign over there? Because I'd like to take a little bit of time to evaluate this decision myself, not to make it, as we speak here, in a motion.
How far behind are we?
We're behind. We're 30 minutes plus.
Just 20 minutes.
20?
Are we, because we don't have another?
No. We started early with these gentlemen.
We started at 20 after with them instead of 2:45.
I missed my 3 o'clock conference call, two things.
Was that the New York one?
That was the New York
Oops.
One. That's all right. Danny, I'm inclined to agree with you personally of what his comment was. Rather than us making a decision on the spot, you've heard the assessor's recommendation of 2.7. You've heard my thoughts of 1, and we will have further discussion about this. We will contact you, unless there's a motion here. Let me back up. For us to take action now, I should have asked that.
I mean, out of respect for you two gentlemen, I mean, from a BOE member perspective, I mean, I'm ready to make a motion, but I'm also wanting to give you guys adequate time to review. So I'm fine with, at our next available break, which is the end of the day, to open this up and finish the conversation here. So James is saying 2.7, I was saying 25%, so we're close. And then, so I'm fine with not making a motion.
No, she didn't even refer to me, did he?
I pointed out.
Now I could go in, and just from looking at the map in the last few minutes or the last 30 minutes, you can see the non-usage property around there if you remove that Country Ridge Estates.
Can you take that out for us, please?
And make an adjustment through the land.
Take out the writing in the
There you go. You see all the vacant land that's charged out against the church that's not used for parking lot, that's not used for anything.
Right.
That would add up quickly.
Right.
But I think the 2.7 is going to be, or the 25%, I mean, we're going to be right there.
Okay.
However we would do that.
I'm fine with waiting.
We will, if we vote today, we will notify you in mail within the next 5 days. Within that notification will be instructions on how to contact the State Tax Commission and information regarding that, a listing of their website, numbers, etc., how to go about that. And if you like, I would have one of these girls call you personally so that you'll know that today.
Sure, that would be great.
If you'd give her your number that she could, or your best number that she could reach you,
okay,
then we will do that later. Would you gentlemen be opposed to a 5-minute recess? Did you have, you gentlemen have anything else to say today?
No, thank you very much. We appreciate your time and your consideration.
Thank you. We'll stand in recess for 5 minutes.